Jeremy Irons plays the merchant Antonio in a new screen version of Shakespeare's problematic play, The Merchant of Venice. Al Pacino plays the moneylender Shylock. Film critic David Edelstein says the movie works better when it stops trying to get around the play's anti-Semitism.
Michael Radford's film of William Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice is steeped in guilt, like a toxic smog. It opens with titles that inform us of the status of Jews in 16th century Venice. They were ghettoized, they were reviled, and they were confined by law to occupations like money lending. That overture seems a thoughtful solution to the problem posed by this frankly anti-Semitic play. But as Stephen Greenblatt points out in his brilliant new book, Will in the World, Shakespeare had probably never met any Jews. They certainly weren't in evidence in Elizabethan England, where even being openly Catholic was a recipe for getting one's severed head affixed to London Bridge. The character of Shylock must have begun life as a stock villain in a romantic comedy with serious overtones, not unlike Much Ado About Nothing. But Shakespeare, by this point, was incapable of creating a one-dimensional schemer like Marlowe's contemporaneous Jew of Malta, and Shylock ended up with a weight and rough eloquence that warped this strange and imperfect play. In recent years, humanist theater directors have tried to portray Shylock as more sinned against than sinning, which really warps the play. Radford and Al Pacino don't make that mistake. This Shylock is so beaten down that he embraces the role of monster. In the past, he has reached out to Christian society and been spat on, literally in a prologue by Antonio, the devout merchant of the title, played by Jeremy Irons. For once, the scale of Pacino's performance seems right. He sometimes sing-song, and he chews the scenery. I mean, when does he not? But he also takes Shylock deep inside himself. He's gnomish and gnarled, and he burns hotter and hotter, like a human filament. More important, Pacino mines all the obsessive poetry, so that when Antonio's ships are lost at sea and his debt forfeited, Shylock's demand for a pound of the merchant's flesh becomes an unholy incantation.
Jailer, look to him. Tell me not of mercy. This is the fool lent out money gratis. Jailer, look to him.
Hear me yet, good Shylock.
I'll have my bond. Speak not against my bond. I have sworn an oath that I will have my bond. You called me dog before you had a cause. But since I am a dog, beware my fangs. The Duke will grant me justice. I do wonder, you wicked jailers, you are so fond to come abroad with him at his request.
I pray you hear me speak.
I'll have my bond. I will not hear you speak. I'll have my bond. Therefore, speak no more. I'll not be made a soft and dull-eyed fool to shake the head, relent, and sigh, and yield to Christian intercessors. I'll have no speaking, follow not. I will have my bond.
The subsequent courtroom scene is the heart of the movie, and director Radford proves adroit at juggling our sympathies. Jeremy Irons is all liquid eyes and trembling lips as the anguished Antonio, who has lost not only his fortune, but also the young man with whom he's wildly in love, Joseph finds as Bassanio. As the heiress Portia, Bassanio's new wife, and in her disguise as a male law clerk, the potential savior of Antonio, Lynn Collins finds all the transcendent spirituality in Portia's celebrated ode to Christian mercy. Finally, there is the riveting spectacle of Pacino's Shylock walking into, no, hurling himself into a trap, a comeuppance for the vengeful Jew that would have delighted Elizabethan audiences, who also loved watching bears torn limb from limb. But Radford doesn't solve the problems of The Merchant of Venice, which nowadays is too disturbing to be played for comedy and too unresolved to qualify as tragedy, or even that ever-shifting hybrid tragicomedy. Portia's own quality of mercy is strained. She is, all in all, a spoiled and self-centered little princess, and the other characters don't have the stature to make the various lovers' tests of loyalty seem anything but capricious and inconsequential. Radford throws the play even more off balance by making the first half of the movie hushed and dark, with a palette like Velázquez. It's evocative, but with the comic energy ratcheted way down, it's also deeply boring, at least until Antonio suffers an economic catastrophe and looks to be coming in for a small weight loss. That's when this Merchant of Venice comes roaring to life, when it stops, in effect, apologizing for its terrible anti-Semitic worldview and just gives itself over to some of the most furious courtroom drama ever written. You can contextualize the play, frame it humanistically, celebrate Shakespeare for not being Marlowe, but you can't get around the lousy lot of the Jew in the Western canon.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.